The 4th of February is a very significant day on the global calendar for a number of reasons. It may be your birthday or something that stands out for you, but for the rest of the world, especially in the medical world, today is known as World Cancer Day, which is something that is very important for us to be able to kind of raise awareness on and have as many conversations as what we can relating to this. I was reading some statistics from some years ago about South Africa and when it comes to cancer, and this was all the way back in 2018, almost 7 years ago. Females accounted for 51.3% of cancer diagnosis in South Africa, while males accounted for 48.6%. And it seems that the sort of the average age was about 59 years old for females and 64 years old for males. And this was many years ago. But fast forward into 2025, what does the picture look like, and what are some of the things that we're finding people are discovering about cancer in the medical world, and more importantly, how we as family are navigating supporting someone that we might know in and around our lives that might be living with cancer or affected by it because of a family member that might have it. Well, joining me this afternoon to help us through this conversation is Barry Viljoen, who's a clinical psychologist at the South African Society of Clinical Psychologists. Barry, thank you so much for joining me. Welcome to Drive 326.
No, thank you so much for having me today.
It's great to be chatting to you on a day that I think is an absolutely important day. But maybe somebody else is listening to this conversation and thinking, I mean, we could have this as a conversation around the table, but what is the significance of having World Cancer Day, and why is it so important to raise awareness about this globally?
I think that's a fantastic question to ask. I think, you know, we already need to say that it's not celebrating a day, but rather an awareness and observing the day. And part of it is to give a platform to raise awareness about cancer and about its impact and the need for prevention, early detection and treatment, which you've already been speaking about a little bit. And the idea is to unite people worldwide against the fight against cancer, to inspire action, to emphasize the importance of supporting research and improving access to care. While raising, you know, awareness globally is crucial, but also brings the attention to disparities within healthcare systems, education to the public, and encouraging individuals to take proactive steps in their own health.
I definitely agree with you in terms of all these different things that pop up, especially as we focus on raising awareness. But Barry, one of the things I'd love for us to, maybe if you could help us in this, a lot of times, you know, family, friends that are get this diagnosis, and we never really know how to interact with the space they find themselves in. And I'm almost imagining that when someone finally receives this diagnosis, that there's a lot of things that's happening internally. What are some of the most common immediate psychological reactions, perhaps, that you've observed that might welcome us who may be on the outskirts into what they're going through?
I think that's a fantastic question. And I think a lot of different people are going to react differently. But I think what we generally expect is that when you get this diagnosis, the most common reaction is shock, disbelief, and denial. And that many people struggle to comprehend the reality of this diagnosis and to experience like an overwhelming fear or an anxiety about the future. So you can expect things like feelings of sadness, anger, or helplessness can arise. And, you know, people feel quite helpless in this when they've been given this kind of news. And, you know, these emotions are all part of a normal coping process, but offer, you know, we can offer support and how we work through the feelings. So I think the idea is to try to be there, to try to be supportive, and to not break those connections. Because I think as we're struggling, we tend to withdraw, right?
Yeah. And I mean, I'm assuming that this, it typically then will affect relationships that people have, families or colleagues or something along those lines. How exactly does that look like when it comes to that relationship element of things?
Of course, I think it's one of the hardest things. I think, you know, when we're struggling, most of us will, you know, internalize, and we will kind of shy away from interpersonal relationships, which is so important. Is probably actually what we need the most at that point. And I think relationships can break down as well, and that's, which is very sad. And I think it's ultimately what we need. And I think it's because of, it's a mix of feelings with regards to protectiveness, to worry, to helplessness. And, you know, it's difficult also, like you said, for families and friends and loved ones knowing how do we support. And I think their communication is so important, because that can become strained as we're struggling with our own emotions, as well as the person who is directly affected by the disease. And I think you know, what's important is we can try and strengthen our relationships, and we can try to foster deeper levels of empathy and solidarity with what they're going through. Maybe not understanding it completely, but trying to. And I think honest communication is also very important, you know, to keep those relationships healthy.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, if we can listen, I think offering validation about where the person is, I mean, some days aren't going to be great and other ones might feel a lot more normative. And I think it's also important that we try not to offer solutions too quickly. You know, I think one of the things that a lot of people say is they don't want to hear that everything's going to be okay, because at the moment things don't feel that way. And even though I think we're trying to, you know, I think the loved one is trying to make you feel better, you know, it's a lot of the time, maybe if we can ask, I can't imagine what you're going through, you know, you must feel, you know, heartbroken. You know, those kind of questions, I think, gives more space to getting the person to express where they're feeling and to feel more of that solidarity and that connection, as opposed to just washing it off.
You know, I know for, and I'll speak for myself, and I'm sure there's certain people that might relate with me on this one, is that it's almost easier for me to say, my natural response is to say, man, I'm so sad to hear, and I'll pray for you, which almost seems, it feels passive towards the engaging into the relationship. And I think it also represents a lot of what people's posture would be of, because I don't know how to deal with this, I almost pull back a lot more than, like you're rightfully saying, relationships become even more crucial during this time. Maybe what encouragement do you have, perhaps, to family, loved ones, friends, colleagues, neighbors, who may be drawn and likely to want to pull back? Because I'm just feeling like, actually, Barry, I don't know what to say. What encouragement do you have to those group of people?
And I think that's where a lot of people sit with. But I think already the point you made about, you know, just highlighting the fact that it's terrible news, or it's hard news to hear, and that you pray with them or pray for them. Maybe you could use to even change the phrasing to, can we pray together? Or is there something that I can pray for you about? Or can I keep you in my prayers? Already, I think it's giving a certain level of autonomy and engagement and connection.
That's good. Yeah, that's really good, because it's got this connection that you constantly have with this person. Let's talk about, you know, the day-to-day life. And I do know there's someone who might be listening to this conversation who's got family, who's got friends that are currently living with cancer. What are some practices, something that someone can do on a daily basis that might be living with cancer, to manage just that emotional weight and that distress and that feeling of that constant playback in their mind, or whatever it may be, to help them navigate through that space?
Sure. So I suppose the first thing to start off with is just realizing that there's going to be good days and there's going to be bad days, and that's normal, and that's part of the process of any kind of shocking news or any kind of really difficult diagnosis to work with and to live with. And I think there are some things that we can do. I mean, also, like we said, knowing that you're going to go through those different stages, you know, and that they aren't linear. You can have one day which is really great, and then one day where you're really angry about the diagnosis. But I think what you could look at is looking at a variety of emotional support practices. So mindfulness techniques like deep breathing, meditation, prayer, guided imagery, those are all things that can help to reduce the stress. Journaling has become very popular now. It's a safe way to express some of emotions, positive or negative, and kind of go back later and see, oh, well, that was a good day, or that was a really bad day, but I made it through it. Things like physical exercise can also be very helpful, but that's important to speak to your treating medical professional if you can exercise and what exercise you can do, because we know that exercise can help to improve mood. It can also reduce anxiety. And there are several support groups as well. So I think you gave the example that sometimes families can struggle with understanding where they're at, but sometimes the person who's suffering with the disease directly can go either for in-person or on-person support groups where they can connect with other people who are going through similar experiences. And that can create that sense of community, that maybe my family can't understand everything, but these are another group of people who have been there or are there currently, and we can share this experience. I also think it's important to encourage self-care, so activities that we enjoy, even if it's little things like watching our favorite television show, or engaging in a hobby, or spending time with loved ones. And I think that's so important, because I think a disease or diagnosis like this can become so quickly all-consuming. And that also we need to find a space of just, who am I outside of this? Yes, I am diagnosed with this. Yes, I am experiencing this. But also, who am I and what makes me who I am? And not to lose that in the process.
Yeah, I'm sure. And it can be so overwhelming, I'm imagining, for those that find themselves in that place. Barry, this has been very insightful. And I think it's welcomed us into a world that many of us can only imagine but have never lived. And you've helped us navigate that place really well. But before I let you go, there's someone who may be listening to us right now who's currently in that battle with cancer, who's currently feeling the emotional weight, who's currently just feeling like, man, today is a bad day, or this week has been really all right so far, and today's just a really down day. What encouragement do you have, a message to share with those individuals that may be struggling emotionally?
Mm-mm. So I think the first thing is to say that it's okay to feel overwhelmed. It's okay to feel scared or uncertain. And these are normal emotions. And that the journey might be challenging, but to remember that you're not done. It's important to reach out for support, whether it be from family, friends, or support groups. Also for you to acknowledge your emotions and to take things one day at a time. And to know that it's okay to ask for help. It's okay to ask, it's okay to rest and to give yourself some grace. Your feelings are valid. And your strength in facing in this is profound. And to stay connected to people who care about you. And to remember that every step is a step forward, no matter how small, that there's continuous progress.
Sure, man. This has been very insightful. Barry, thank you so much. I think for a lot of us, we're feeling a little bit more insightful, a little bit better prepared in terms of navigating these spaces that we sometimes would shy away from because we're not too sure how to navigate it completely. And I think you've helped us just process that really well. And yeah, for people who might want to get more information, who might be in a space where they're saying, hey, I'm alone, I'm not with family or friends, to be able to lean to people who could support me. Is there a place that they can go for more information?
There's definitely a few. You can check SAISA's website. They've got a few things about World Cancer Day. You could look at the CHOC Foundation. You could look at the South African Cancer Foundation. And then, of course, SADC as well for support as well is also always there.
Barry, thank you so much for joining us this afternoon. This has been really insightful. And I look forward to us chatting again, even if it's in a year's time, but also with many other moments in the year that we know people might need some emotional support that we might be able to reach out to you.
Fantastic. Thank you so much for having me and have a great day further.
Same to you. Thank you. Barry Viljoen, clinical psychologist at the South African Society of Clinical Psychologists, talking to us on World Cancer Day and really just highlighting to us the role that we are able to play as those living where people that might be battling to cancer, where they eat, live and play, where they eat, play and work, those environments that they interact with, that we might be able to be in a position where we're better prepared of how to serve them well, that we might be able to say, yes, I'll pray for you. But more importantly, that you might know that you are supported.